Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Finn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
One of the best MVPs and one ex-MVP. Mark and Rob together offer over 40 years Microsoft experience. Robert Crane. He's an Office Servers and Services MVP, the director of CIA Ops for over 20 years, and a very sought-after presenter. Visit CIAOps.com. Mark D. He's an Azure TSP working at Microsoft, building constructive tension, the productive force that makes customers want to use Microsoft Azure. All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast. All thanks to Rode Microphones. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome along to the very first Need to Know podcast for 2018. My name is Robert Crane, and normally I'd be joined by my co-host Mark Keane, but Mark's very busy at the moment. Microsoft have got his nose to the grindstone, making sure they're getting full value for his expertise. So he's currently occupied, so we'll have a bit of a solo cast today. So again, welcome everybody to 2018. Hope you've had a good break, a good festive time during December and January, and now we're back into it. So glad to have you on board. Glad to for you to be a listener again. Hopefully we can provide value for your listening time, keep you up to date with Azure and Office 365. So without further ado, let's kick into some news and updates. So the first thing here is that Outlook for the Mac now supports the creation of Office 365 groups. So what that means is that a group, basically an Office 365, will create an email address, will create a SharePoint site, will create a number of other items for you. Now, typically, you could do that through the admin portal. You could also do that with Outlook on the PC, but now we have that ability to do that using our Outlook on the Mac. So it's a good example, again, of how the Mac is certainly improving on a regular basis. Not quite feature parity with the Windows version, but we'll get there. And I think that, again, it shows the commitment Microsoft does have to the Mac platform. So for all those people out there who are using Macs, remember that with the Business Premium E3 and E5, you get 5 installs of Office. Now, that is for PC and Mac, so that you can put it on a Mac and a PC up to 5 times. And again, that will now give you that ability to create groups directly from Outlook. Now, one of the challenges when it comes to Office 365 is, again, where do you go to provide feedback and feature requests that you'd like to see for each of the services? Now, remember that each of the services are typically run by an individual team. And again, that means that their feedback can be in different locations. So I've come across a blog post here from the Office 365 guy that will outline all the locations that you can go in and post feedback. So these are typically arranged around something called user voice, where you go in and make a suggestion, or someone makes a suggestion, and then basically others can go in and vote it up. So obviously, the more votes, the more relevant, the more likely to be implemented. So remember, again, to go in there, have a look at the link I'll provide in the show notes, so that you can go in and have a look at the suggestions that are there. You can rank them. You can see which ones are the top most favored suggestions. You can add more votes, or you can come up with your own suggestions and get others to vote on as well. So keep that in mind when you're seeing features or additions, both in mobile, both on the desktop, as to the additional features you'd like to see. Again, just go in. The best way is, again, let Microsoft know. Now, I can tell you that Microsoft does pay very close attention to these feedback ideas. So a lot of the things that we see roll out for products, again, OneDrive is a very good example, were implemented directly based on this user voice, on this feedback system. So again, we certainly recognize that Office 365 is not a perfect product. It can always have more, or it can always respond better to what people require. And the best way to do that is to go in and provide direct feedback to Microsoft, and we'll give you the links to do that in the show notes. Now, one of the other things that we're seeing now is many of the SharePoint updates that were mentioned a while back, so at Ignite, are beginning to roll out. So some of these now are the ability to work with pages in SharePoint. So pages are basically allow you to embed pictures, text, that sort of thing. Now we've now got the ability to start from existing pages. So before, what we had to do is we had to basically start each page from afresh. We had to create it from again from scratch, but now we have the ability, or it's rolling out the ability, that when you click the new icon, you'll see that there's also an option here to copy this page. So you can start with a page and then copy it to a new page and then update and modify that copy. So again, going to make it much easier, much quicker for people to start getting text in there. Now, we've also got the ability to do rich text editing, so bold, colors, fonts, underlines, that's coming to our pages. So we can move from just pure normal text. We can put a lot more emphasis and a lot more engaging when it comes to text. So we should see, again, that rolling out. So when you create a page, you create a text box. Now, in that text box, when you start editing your text, you'll be able to go in there and, again, customize the look and the feel of that text, typically like you can with a word processor. Now, another addition to the pages is the ability to edit and work with photos. So you can embed photos into these pages as well with text, but now we've got the ability, for example, to crop our images and do a little bit of editing in the pages rather than having to jump out and do that beforehand. So again, very, very handy. We've also got the ability to promote our pages. So we create our page, we can now share that either to a navigation, we can post that as news on our SharePoint site, or we can email that to people. So once we start creating content, it's a good way to start getting that information out that we've created to do that. Now, as we do that, you'll notice that down the bottom of the pages, we've also got the ability that's been added to have a look at the likes, the views, and the comments. So if you're not aware that in SharePoint now, you can add the ability to have comments on pages right at the bottom there, and you can build out a conversation around that. Now, again, that's a great way to get engagement, to get people actually contributing more to the intranet or to the team site. So, again, certainly have a look at that. You'll find that at the bottom of the modern pages. And, again, we've got a bit of analytics there to help us better understand the usage of our pages. Now, one of the other tools that Microsoft is rolling out for is the basically the ability to control what's called the Office customization tool. So basically when we install Office from Office 365, it uses a technology called Click to Run. Now that Click to Run was generally designed to stream from a content delivery network directly down to a single user's PC. So it's typically been a single user install. Now, if we wanted to install Office across a variety of machines or to a network share or to an RDS box, a terminal server, we needed to use basically what's called the Office Deployment Toolkit. Now, what that did is that allowed us to download effectively an image or a group of files and then use that as a repository to push out to our locations, maybe on our network. Now, when we did that, there was a file, an XML file, that controlled the installation. So that determined what was installed, how it was installed, what versions, 32-bit, 64-bit. Now, that was, I suppose, easy enough to work with using XML, so just using a text editor, but there have been some questions about what options are available, what could I include and not include. So Microsoft has now released the ability as a website to do the Office customization tool. So what that allows you to do is basically go into this website, make the choices you want to have in this XML file, and then it will produce the XML file for you. So again, you can select all the options using buttons and so forth, the web interface, and then that will create the XML file, which you can then use with the Office Deployment Toolkit to bring down and push your installations of Office Click to Run into a bulk installation onto your terminal server. So again, I'll put the link to that in the show notes, but that is the Office customization tool, now in preview, but available to allow you to start customizing the Office Deployment Toolkit push out of your click to run installations. Now, the other tool that Microsoft has now made generally available for us has been its SharePoint migration tool and as well its migration assessment tool. So the SharePoint migration tool is a free tool from Microsoft. Basically, you load it on the PC and it will allow you to copy from on-premises file and folder and also a SharePoint site. So you can move from a SharePoint site or a files and folders arrangement up into either a Teams site or into OneDrive. So nice and easy to use. Basically, you install the EXE and then you run that EXE and you can then target your local resources to copy up to Office 365. You'll need to log in to do that. Now, the tool is pretty basic. Again, it just does files and folders at this stage. It doesn't do calendars, contacts, any other SharePoint item lists. That is certainly on the roadmap for Microsoft to include that ability, but at this stage it just does files and folders. And again, it does give you a basic interface to show you the copying progress, although again, that's probably not as detailed as some of the other commercial tools that are out there, but I think it's a good step in the initial stages from Microsoft to give us a tool to do this. I think it's also going to be something that's going to improve and be enhanced over time. So again, as there's more demand for this tool, again, we should see it improve. We should just see it do lists and calendars and all those sort of things as well. But for the time being, if you need to move files and folders up into either OneDrive or Office 365, Microsoft has a tool for you, and we'll give you the link to that in your in the show notes here. We've also got a SharePoint migration assessment tool. So basically what that will do, it will look at your existing SharePoint implementation, if you have it, and then give you a better idea of how that will migrate into an Office 365 team site, because there are obviously some limitations, version control, all that sort of stuff. Now, remember that the tool will typically work on SharePoint 2010 and 2013, so it's not going to go back to anything prior. Again, it will help you basically move that information or understand how to move your SharePoint information basically into the Office 365 environment. Now, on the Azure side, again, we'll take that lead as Mark is currently, like I said, tied up doing some important stuff there for Microsoft early in the year. Now, a blog post that I came across that I think is worthwhile having a look at is to extend your network to Azure with site-to-site VPN quick and cheap. So this is a great little blog post that will give you a indication or show you step-by-step how to set up a site-to-site VPN from an on-premises environment into Azure. Now, the way to think about doing this is that my recommendation when it comes to migrating things into Azure and into the Microsoft Cloud, especially your infrastructure, is to look at doing a site-to-site VPN first. Now, the site-to-site VPN is going to give you the ability basically to connect the networks from on-prem to the cloud and basically make it one network. So you could have resources locally and resources in the cloud. And because you've got the site-to-site VPN, it's effectively one network, which makes it easier to swing or migrate or move information. So if you start off with a site-to-site VPN and nothing in Azure, and let's say you have a server die on-prem, then it's pretty easy to spin up a replacement in Azure as a virtual machine, connect it to the domain which is on-prem, have users utilize that, and then over time migrate more and more into the Azure infrastructure, and then potentially you can remove the site-to-site VPN. But the site-to-site VPN is really the place to start. This is a great little blog post that removes a lot of the confusion or takes you through the step-by-step process of doing it. I also have a number of training courses and blog posts on how to do that, but this is a great simplified blog post which from Microsoft, which will take you through the step-by-step process of creating a site-to-site VPN, which I think is, again, the first place you should look at starting when you're looking at moving your infrastructure into something like Azure. Now, another program that Microsoft has recently announced is the Azure Essentials program. So, again, the idea is Microsoft's looking to move more and more people or get more and more people familiar with Azure. So again, it's created this site. We'll put the link in the show notes. Again, it basically allows you to get things like some Azure credits, you get some training. It takes you through a whole lot of ways to get familiar with the environment and then actually try and start building this stuff yourself. So again, interestingly, it is generally tied to a LinkedIn account. So it's more aimed, I suppose, at the LinkedIn crowd rather than the pure IT pro, but you can also log in with your Microsoft account as well if you want to. So again, take a look at this Azure Essentials environment. There's a number of these around. Now remember that if you're a partner, you do already get certain Azure credits, about $100, I think $100 US for most partners to go in and play around with Azure. So certainly recommend you dive in, use that, again, get familiar with it, and maybe use it to build the site-to-site VPN that we talked about in the previous area. Now, another thing that's come to the Azure environment in the enterprise and mobility is this blog post I've got here that shows you how to use your Cloud App Security and Information Protection integration to apply labels to sensitive files. Now, again, what we've got here is we're utilizing the advanced threat protection environment here found in Office 365 combined with EMS, and we can go in and we can say, you know, we can create a file policy and we can tag files that, again, come from a location or certainly include certain information, and we can basically tag those as part of our governance. And we can say, right, they're confidential, they're not to be shared, they're internal, they're personal. So again, what we're seeing is that as the technology becomes relatively generic across organizations, the differentiation people have is their information. Now, that's the important thing to look at controlling, look at protecting. And that's where something where Azure Information Protection combined with other tools in EMS and Office 365 can give you that automated process of basically protecting the information or making it easy for users to protect their information so that it's encrypted and it's locked to a certain group of users so that you'll know that that information won't leak out, potentially won't be stolen or compromised out there. So again, take a look at that blog post, get some idea of how to use some of these tools to go in and classify information inside your environment so again it can be protected automatically for you. Now, I'm sure something here that would please Mark no end is the fact that the PowerShell Core version 6 has now gone generally available. So, again, we're now up to and using PowerShell version 6. So, at this stage, we've got Windows PowerShell up to 5.1, but there now is a version 6. Now, the version 6 typically is, again, aimed, I suppose, again, more at a core Windows and maybe Mac OS and Linux. So again, it's the more open source project. The version you really should be using obviously on your Windows environment is 5.1, but again, I think we'll see that morph eventually into 6.0 as well as additional updates to the core operating systems are made available. So if you haven't taken a look at PowerShell, certainly recommend that you go and do that. I have a number of training courses. I've got an ebook on it as well. It's certainly going to be something that all IT pros need to be familiar with, they need to be comfortable with. So if you haven't started, use it, dive in and get familiar with it now. And again, start using it as part of your processes. The great thing about PowerShell is, and the scripting environment, is that once you've got it working, you can run it consistently over and over again and get the same results. So, and there certainly are some things that you can only do with PowerShell. So again, certainly a skill that is, I think, very, very important for most IT pros. And again, now we're looking at version 6. So that product, again, continues to march along in its development. So make sure that you keep abreast of that. Now, aside from the technology side of updates in Office 365 and Azure, I thought I'd share with you what I found as some good holiday reading. So One of the books I read over the break is called American Kingpin by Nick Bilton. So, again, I put the link in the show notes, but that is the story behind the Silk Road. So, that is the follows the creator of the Silk Road, Ross Ulbricht, and his desire to create a marketplace for basically anything. And it typically ended up being things like drugs and guns and all those sort of things. And follows the story end to end, very well written, great read, great page turner. If you're interested in the technology, also into the crime side of it as well, certainly recommend that. So again, that's American Kingpin by Nick Bilton, that certainly would recommend that you go out and have a read of. Now, just to round things off before we close out the podcast, what I thought I'd do is, again, start talking to you or letting you know a bit more about the Microsoft 365 product. Now, I've done a couple of videos and currently engaged in training with Microsoft in Australia doing this, but I thought I'd share with you basically some basic concepts around the product. So, Microsoft 365 was announced around last June. Think of it as a combination of Office 365, Windows 10, and the Enterprise and Mobility Suite. So typically, this is focused on device management and Intune. So you've got your standard Office 365 services, SharePoint, Exchange, Teams, all that stuff, combined with a Windows 10 subscription and also with basically a device management subscription to manage your phones, your Windows 10 devices, Android devices, and so on. Now, the Microsoft 365 product comes in two major SKUs. So the two SKUs are the Enterprise SKU and the Business SKU. Now, the Business SKU includes Office 365 Business Premium plus Windows 10 Professional plus some very basic MS capabilities. So what you'll get is the Business Premium product with Office on the desktop, SharePoint, Teams, whatnot. You'll get Windows Professional. So you basically have the ability to upgrade a Windows 7 Pro or a Windows 8 Pro machine to Windows 10 as part of that license. Now, note that you can't update Windows 10 Home. They have to be Pro licenses beforehand before you can update to Windows 10 Pro. And then you'll get the ability to manage devices and set policies and be able to do that directly from the Office 365 admin console. So when you have Microsoft 365 Business, you'll see that there are a number of additional tiles have been added to the admin experience that allow you to control the Windows 10 update, that allow you to control your devices, set policies for Windows 10, for iOS, and for Android. So you can do things like set a PIN number, you can enforce encryption, you can enforce the ability for these devices to save to OneDrive for Business rather than saving locally. You can also prevent cutting and pasting corporate information into non-protected apps. So people can't take an email, copy and paste that into something like Gmail. That is basically protected. Now, the cost of Microsoft 365 Business is a couple dollars more, about $5 more than Office 365. So I think it's a pretty good bargain considering the additional features and functionality that you do get. But remember that the business version does have its limits. It's designed for basically those with simplified requirements. To get the full features of Intune, you would need to look at the Microsoft 365 Enterprise SKU. Now, the Enterprise SKU includes an E3 or an E5. So basically, you'll get Office 365 E3 or E5. You'll also get Windows 10 Enterprise rather than Windows 10 Pro. So the Enterprise is going to give you more security, more features, again, AppGuard, a whole range of things. But the Enterprise license also gives you 5 installs of that software. So you can have your Windows 10 Enterprise running up to on 5 devices. And we also get the full EMS. So we get the full Intune, we get the full Azure Rights Management. But also in the Enterprise SKU, we also get the Azure Information Protection and Azure AD Premium. So the Microsoft 365 Enterprise has two versions. It has an E3 and an E5 which align with a Microsoft product. Now, the E5, which is the full version, you get the full version of Azure AD Premium, the full version of Azure Information Protection, again, and the E3, you get, for example, Azure AD P1 rather than P2, Azure Information Protection P1 instead of P2. So, again, what I'll do is I'll make sure that there is a link to the table which shows you the differences and the inclusion so you've got an idea. Again, the prices vary, but remember that the Enterprise, you're getting the full versions of Windows 10 Enterprise and the full EMS suite. Now, that allows you to run full Intune, no restrictions there, to go in and basically configure all the features. The Microsoft 365 Business version basically has some core components of that, but you can't go in and fiddle with them at the back end. They all have to be done through the admin console that you're familiar with in Office 365. So again, if you need that more powerful functionality to manage your devices, then I would certainly suggest you have a look at the Enterprise version. The Business version is a great way for people to start going in and controlling those devices, which now typically have so much corporate information and are basically so common today. So it allows you, like I said, to manage the documents, manage the information, make sure they're compliant, allow you to do selective wipe on those devices and control those in a much better manner. But remember, the full version, you want all the features, the low-level functionality, look at the two Enterprise versions. So the Enterprise version E3 and the Enterprise version E5 of the Microsoft 365. So remember, we have the Office 365, which is the basic services you are familiar with, and now we have a Microsoft 365 offering, which includes that as well as Windows 10 and as well as information and device protection as well. So if you want to hear more or want to understand more about Microsoft 365, the versions, the SKUs, or you want to learn more about specifics in Office 365 in Azure, please don't hesitate to contact us. We're looking for more feedback on what people want to hear, more guests that they'd like to have us interview. So again, you can basically follow me, director at CIAOps is the way to send me an email. I'm at DirectorCIA on the Twitter. Mark Keane is at MarkKean. And the best way to get us is to send us either something on the Twitter there or send an email to feedback@needtoknow.cloud. All right, and to have a look at all the previous versions of these podcasts, go to podcast.needtoknow.cloud. Now, with that, I think that's a good place to call an end to our intro session for 2018. Fingers crossed that Mark will have some spare time in the near future to come back on and welcome everybody to 2018, give us some updates, more deep dives into Azure. But for this episode and from me, thank you very much for listening.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.